Welcome to the Trenches Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Bueno, Managing Editor of Trenches Technology Magazine. We are continuing to focus on the health crisis that is COVID-19 and its impact on the trenches industry. Today on the podcast, we are taking a look at what's happening with our trenches friends to the north in Canada. And to give us a glimpse of that situation, my guest today is Jason Luke, National Practice Leader of Trenches Technology at Associated Engineering, which is based in Edmonton, Alberta. Jason's been a part of the trenches industry for more than 20 years as a contractor, university professor, and consultant specializing in trenches installation, new installations. He's also been active in NASTT as a director, as well as one of its instructors for its good practices courses involving laterals, horizontal directional drilling, and pipe bursting. And he's also a member of the editorial board for our sister publication, Trenchless Technology Canada. So thanks for hopping on the podcast, Jason. I appreciate it. Now, we've known each other, what, better part of 20 years? We were talking the other day how we believe we first met at one of our company's first HDD rodeos.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
Good morning, Sharon. Yes. I think the first time we met was down in the directional drilling rodeo in Georgia. And I forget which. It was a small town south of Atlanta. And I forget what that was. Was it?
Oh, yeah. That was like the second rodeo, I think.
I think so, yes.
Because the first one was in Texas.
Yeah, this was in Georgia.
Yeah, because you were working then with another mutual friend of ours, Dr. Sam Ariaratnam.
That's right.
You were in, I said Arizona State. You were already at Arizona State, but you weren't.
No, that was at the University of Alberta. I was just a student at that time. And we were down there to, it was an excellent opportunity to do some judging and learn about the directional drilling industry, for sure.
Wow, that's a long time ago. Well, first off, I'm going to ask you how your family and you are holding up. I mean, personally, we've been under lockdown for the better part of 6 weeks. I know I'm going a little crazy, stir crazy. We have no sports even to pass the time, no baseball, go Mets. How are you guys holding up?
Yeah, it's been interesting times, to say the least. You know, your boys, I have two boys, 11 and 14. They've been at home since the beginning of March. School's been out. And so they're kind of doing the at-home learning thing. Now, my wife is here at home as well. You know, myself, this is my fifth week of working from home now. And things are becoming a little bit more normal. In general, though, I mean, we've been healthy and everything's going pretty good. So
that's the most important thing.
We're pretty fortunate. Yes, exactly.
Everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
So how has all this, the pandemic, impacted the operations at Associated Engineering? What's the overall situation, even in just in Alberta?
Yeah, it's definitely changed things. Essentially, you know, it changed things overnight to some extent. We moved from this office-centric environment to now being a network of remote offices with everybody working from home. You know, roughly, I think 90% of our staff are working from home, so that's about 900 people. There are some people still working in the offices. Obviously, as people move to the remoteness of the being at home, social distancing has become a lot more easier in the office. And so if you need to work from the office, definitely that's allowed. One of the big challenges we had initially was, you know, our network system, our information technology system. It wasn't really, didn't have the infrastructure to allow 90% of us from working from home. So, you know, our IT people put in a lot of hours to scale up our access and ability to do remote work. And I think it was about 500% in about 2 weeks, they upgraded everything to allow more people to work from home. You know, we're now using a lot of these collaboration tools online. You know, our company has always been using Skype for Business as a communication platform. But even that, I mean, we use that just for voice calls, but now, you know, everything we're doing is by video conferencing, and there's other platforms that we have to adopt, our clients using different things as well. And this has become really essential just from a, you know, to collaborate with our clients and their staff and their teams, just to kind of keep everything moving. You know, from field work perspective, we do a lot of work with surveying and field inspection, and you know, we have to do a lot of changes there as well. One person per vehicle going to sites, even some of the contractors having very specific requirements for PPE, including masks and face shields in some of our projects. You know, now that we're 6 weeks into this, I'd have to think that our business has kind of continued to operate as it has almost before the COVID-19. And I think we made some good changes to make that happen.
In the United States, the individual states have largely been on their own to establish work restrictions or stay-at-home orders. Is that how it's been playing out in Canada?
A little bit different, potentially. The federal government here really kind of mandated restrictions and provided some operation guidance. And the provincial and the municipal governments, they enhance those requirements, essentially. So there might be some small differences between, the regional governments. In some areas, there was times where construction was kind of stalled. In other areas, construction was deemed an essential services. But in general, most of the provincial, all of the provincial and municipal type governments are aligning with what the federal mandate is in response to the COVID situation.
Also here, the EPA in Homeland Security designated water and wastewater work as critical infrastructure. How did that work in Canada? Was there a similar designation made in that respect?
Yes, it was a little slightly different classification where, if EPA is talking about water and wastewater as critical infrastructure, here in Canada, it was the engineering and consulting engineering, which was deemed essential services in response to the COVID-19 situation. Engineering was an essential service really just to help with the whole flattening of the curve type situation. Mm-hmm. The necessities provided by water and wastewater treatment, collection, distribution, all those things are essential to keep public safe, maintain existing services, and really set the groundwork for recovering and starting the economy when this is all hopefully coming back to normal. And all these services, they need to continue to operate seamlessly even when the public is in isolation. So that's very early on. That's when the consulting engineers were designated as being that essential service to keep the economy and the public safe.
In relation to that, so how has associated engineering worked within the local communities, working with first responders, healthcare facilities during all of this?
Yeah, associated engineering, we definitely have a culture of giving, and that's some of that is from a grassroots perspective, and some of that is also from a corporate perspective. Many of the people that work with Associated, they're heavily involved in their community, either from a contribution to food banks type thing. A lot of our people, we've heard people as well, volunteering to make face masks in the community. Others are shopping for people who are unable to get out of the home to get food in. And, others even setting up outreach programs within their communities to help seniors and people who don't get out of the house, provide them an opportunity for someone to talk to or just for some emotional, mental support type thing. We also know, though, that, even some of our families and families that we know, we're experiencing a lot of stress. There's been, layoffs and job losses significant in the economy here. So corporately, the focus is to work with organizations which are focusing on families in need. Corporately, we're looking at different options right now, but we do have a culture of giving to charities. And generally, what we like to do is put programs or in place where we match what employees contribute so we can kind of double up those things. So still looking at options, and those are in the works, and I expect those to come out here in the near future. The other thing that Associate Engineering does well, or the service provide, is we have a division that has operators, specifically for water, wastewater treatment plants. And, those are essential services. And so, we're able to provide people to some of our, local communities and some of our clients who have operators, and may not have backup operators. And if those people get sick, they have to go home and look after their families. We have people that, have gone out now and, backstop those operations and those treatment plants to, ensure, potable water and safe treatment maintains despite people not being there. So that's something that we've continued to do and we've been doing that for years.
So from your perspective and your experience in the trenches industry, how has all this COVID-19 global health crisis impacted the trenches industry in Canada?
I'm not sure I've seen much of an impact or a noticeable change right now. A lot of the work that we do with Associated Engineering is, from an infrastructure perspective, is, focused on municipal clients. And a lot of that work has continued. I haven't seen many changes there. You know, there is an industry here, the oil and gas, which there's a large number and a significant number of contractors, consultants are involved with. And, you know, the price of oil, the market conditions over the last year and a bit, they've taken a major hit. That's not an industry that Associated works a lot in. We focus mostly on municipal infrastructure. So we haven't seen a significant hit there. You know, there's definitely some slowdowns. You know, talking to some of our clients, you know, requests for proposal, they're a little bit slow getting out of the door. Even the ones that are out, there's been some extension on due dates, which is good because, you know, as we transition from being in the office to home, there's just some inefficiencies there. So that was, it was good to get those extensions. But in general, you know, I think I still see the kind of the same number of opportunities out there that, you know, we'd probably see last year at the same time. So like, I haven't really seen much of a change there. You know, maybe the last month has been a little slow, but you know, I think we're looking for a fairly steady, if not strong, kind of summer and fall. As some of the projects that are in construction now are, you know, slated for construction this spring or pushed back maybe. So optimistically, I think, you know, things should be okay this year.
You touched a little bit about how it's impacting your clients across Canada. Have you seen a lot of projects being stopped or postponed, or you said it's just pretty much full steam ahead of what's been going on? That's business as usual.
I wouldn't say it's business as usual. There definitely has been some slowdowns, and there's been some delays. You know, again, in the municipal side of things, you know, in the public sector, you know, we haven't seen much of a slowdown. You know, some of our clients have deferred some projects to later in the year and to next year. Just due to diminished funding for those projects. In general, I think that's what less than 5% of the projects that we're involved with have seen those kind of delays. Again, you know, I think we're very fortunate as a company not to have been impacted as much. You know, the private sector, which we do a lot of work in, you know, that's diminished significantly it's been hard to finance those projects with the increased restrictions from lenders. You know, I think in general, you know, our clients are facing very similar issues to ourselves. They're now, a lot of them are working from home, and there was a major transition and change in how work was done as everyone transitioned over like 2 or 3 weeks, you know, to working from home. So those kind of delays just happened due to transition, you know, and I think slowly everything is coming back up to speed. You know, even some of the contractors we work with, they've had to shut down. You know, if they have somebody that was exposed to COVID or infected, you know, they have to shut down and get everybody in isolation for 14 days. And a lot of those contractors took that time to develop safe work procedures and get proper PPE so that when that isolation is over, they can get everyone back to work. Mm-hmm. You know, so in general, not seeing a lot of impact on some minor delays in the municipal industry. It gives some optimism, I think, moving forward. We should have an okay year.
So how has your company, you're a nationwide company, how has it been able to kind of leverage that national footprint to fulfill client requirements? I know you were talking before about how travel has been kind of restricted.
Yes.
To different project sites and such. So how have you been able to leverage your nationwide footprint to help?
We adopted what we call a one office approach, and that's kind of our standard business practice. So what we do is we bring the right people for the client to project, regardless of where they are. So in a lot of cases, some of us have been working remotely for a long time. You know, myself in my role as national practice leader, I'm involved in projects across the country where I'm not always physically present. In the past, we've gone actually travel to site and visit the clients. And obviously now we can't do that. So we have to use other means and, you know, conference and virtual type meetings to get some of that work done. The other thing that we've kind of seen here with that, you know, because we are kind of a diverse company and we have work in different areas and regions, we do a lot of what we call borrowed labor, where people from other offices are working on other projects and that are not in their home office. So in some of the regions and in practice sectors, which have seen slowdowns, you know, we've definitely seen an increase in that borrowed labor being used in other offices to kind of make sure everybody kind of gets utilized across the company.
Now, this pandemic started unfolding in North America just as trade show season was getting underway. I mean, really, in trade shows are the primary marketing tool, as well as educational component for companies. I mean, we had Con Expo, and that's been pretty much it. But how has the loss of trade shows so early this year, and perhaps for the remainder of the year, changed how your company is promoting its work in research and getting also getting continuing education for the engineers? How has it changed your approach?
It's evolving, to say the least. You know, it's been a very interesting year. You know, I think for us, it kind of started with NoDig being canceled in Denver, right? And then the Trenchless Roadshow in Ontario, that was canceled. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm on the executive committee for the American Society of Civil Engineers for the Pipelines Division. And we have a conference that's planned in San Antonio this August. So, you know, we'll see. We're just kind of monitoring the situation, what's going to happen with that conference. So definitely aware of the, you know, the impact these have. And it's not just the impact of the consulting industry. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a significant impact to all these technical societies that are providing the education networking opportunities for the industry. It's going to be an interesting transition for them even to go mm-hmm. to like a virtual offering and how the model works in terms of sponsors and exhibitors. It's going to be interesting. Time will tell what happens there. You know, at Associated Engineering, we have a program where, from a continuing professional development perspective, we allocate 32 hours a year to every employee to use for that personal development. And that goes towards either internal offerings through the company or external type educational things. Currently at Associated, we have we're restricting travel and approval of a lot of attendance of external type functions, just because things look good, you know, the first half of the year here so far, but you know, there's still some uncertainty. So discretionary funding is just not there. You know, mm-hmm. we're definitely holding back on funds just in case things don't go as well as we expect them to go. So conferences and attending conferences externally is one of those things which we're just not approving right now. So, I mean, it's great to see a lot of these external organizations starting with some hosting webinars and providing virtual mm-hmm. opportunities for learning. So that's great. You know, right now internally, you know, we're focusing on, you know, lunch and learns, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's now it's like you don't even have to bring your own lunch. You just kind of stay at home with your lunch. And, you know, we have other things here, it's infrastructure in place, like discipline interest groups at Associated Engineering. Like, so Trenchless has a discipline interest group, and we get together on a bi-monthly basis, and we kind of talk about projects and do some lessons learned type thing. And we're also planning a capacity building seminar. So that's kind of what we associated with call an internal conference. And that capacity building seminar was scheduled to be in October of this year in Vancouver. And we're planning to bring out about 40 engineers involved in trenchless practice sector out to Vancouver for a day and a half kind of conference program. We have some external speakers as well as our own internal speakers. So now, you know, obviously there's so much uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen there. We're not going to be doing it in person, but you know, we just started looking at, I got a committee struck dealing to look at options to make that a virtual offering within the company. That brings its own challenges. You know, it's tough enough to go to a conference or a seminar and sit for 8 hours. It's even harder to try to do that virtually. Everybody sitting at home, right? So we'll have to look at different models of delivery, but you know, we're trying to adapt, and you know, it provides opportunities, I guess, mm-hmm. to maybe do things more efficiently. So we're looking at different things.
Based on your conversations with clients and such, you think they're expecting a quick bounce back once this all gets lifted a little bit, or do you think projects will be slow to come back out?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. That's a non-committal type answer, I realize. But I think we expect that most projects on the book are going to continue to progress. You know, in Canada, there's some stimulus programs that are going to be coming out in the second half of 2020 and in 2021. So kind of expect a lot of municipal work to be picking up. I think that a lot of that's focused on transportation, but there will be some buried infrastructure pipes type stuff going on in there as well. Regionally, there's some differences. You know, in Alberta, particularly, it's been a little bit sluggish here with the the impact in the oil and gas industry. And now with COVID, that's even compounded even more. So that's going to be a challenge. So it's going to be sluggish here for sure. I think Central Canada, British Columbia, that should be better than Alberta probably. But, you know, one of the big driving things here in Canada is the oil and gas industry, right? A lot of the trenchless work is done in that industry. You know, the province of Alberta, you know, they've done some stimulus to try to get that industry moving. Time will tell. You know, but I'm hoping that as the some of these pipelines get built and some of these stimulus packages are released, that overall it should improve the overall economy in Canada and speed up recovery. So, I think there's a lot of optimism in this industry right now. It's not without challenges over the next six to 12 months for sure.
I mean, they always say that there's a silver lining in every dark cloud. What do you think will be the silver lining for the trenches industry coming from all of this, whether it's improved working conditions or focus on worker safety and such? What do you think?
Well, I think improved working conditions is probably the thing I see most, and not just trenches industry, but really just the whole paradigm of flexibility in the workspace. I think in the last 6 weeks, you know, I think we've been able to prove that, you know, most of us can work fairly efficiently from home and remotely and still deliver high quality products for our clients, right? So I think that's been a good thing. I think moving forward, we're going to be seeing the remote working becoming more prevalent. This will have an impact in terms of reducing office space needs, reducing commutes and traffic congestion. You know, we were talking, you know, myself, I'm saving a good hour and a half a day, you know, being able to work from home. And it just seems like I'm working more, but that's okay. You know, overall, I think this will be just a better work-life balance for everybody. So I think that's a good thing coming out of this. But, you know, there has to be a little bit of a balance here as well. I think it's been from our senior engineers and our intermediate engineers, you know, working from home is a very feasible thing to do. But there really is no substitute for that face-to-face mentoring and learning that occurs when you're with some of the junior engineers and junior technologists. You know, one of my colleagues used a term the other day called social capital. You know, while working together, we kind of build this social capital, and that allows us to build some trust with one another, and you know, allows us to get through, you know, those times when we physically can't be in the same space together. And so, you know, we've got to be cognizant that while working from home is very feasible, we also have to be building next generation of our engineers. Having been in the same room and being able to work closely with some of the junior engineers to allow them to develop and build their technical capabilities is what's going to sustain the business. You know, on one hand, we got this great opportunity to work from home, but I mean, you have to balance it out with, you know, developing the next generation of engineers. You know, I think, you know, working remotely is going to become the new normal. And I think it's good. But again, we're just going to balance it out with, you know, sustaining the business.
Well, I want to thank you for chatting with me this morning. It's been a while since we had a chance to talk, actually. So this was good and good perspective from the Canada side. And that wraps up another Trenches Technology podcast. I want to thank Jason Luke for joining us today. And until next time, everyone, stay safe and be well.